WhiskeyCast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases and preferred events, visit glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
WhiskeyCast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Welcome to WhiskeyCast, cask strength conversation featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 354 for January 29th, 2012. I'm back home in Haddonfield this week, but we'll have more coverage from last week's Victoria Whiskey Festival this time around. I'll also have the calendar of events, the comments of the week, and the What I'm Tasting This Week department. First, though, let's look at the week's news. As always, it's brought to you by Glenmorangie. For years now, there's been a trade war on whiskey between India and the European Union, but there are now signs that a truce may be coming. A trade summit between the two sides is set for February 10th, and India's Commerce Secretary says to expect some good news for the Scotch whiskey industry. Rahul Kular is India's chief negotiator for the summit. He told the BBC that cuts in India's 150% tariffs on imported spirits and wines will be on the table, along with cuts on tariffs for other European goods and services. In return, India wants easier access to European markets for its agricultural goods and relaxed rules on work permits for Indians working for Indian companies in Europe. Kular did not say whether India will continue to demand that its locally produced molasses-based whiskies be allowed into Europe. European Union laws require whiskey to be made out of grain, and molasses-based spirits can't be sold as whiskey in Europe. In other trade news, the minimum pricing debate continues in Scotland, and our good friend Dr. David Wishart of St. Andrews University has estimated the potential impact on the Scotch whiskey industry. David, of course, is also the author of Whiskey Classified. He estimates the plan now being considered by Scottish politicians would raise the average price of a bottle of blended Scotch by £3.50, or about $5.50. He told the Daily Record that that could encourage other nations to impose their own additional tariffs on Scotch whiskey, on the grounds that if it's okay for Scotland to do it, then they should be able to as well. Whiskey is Scotland's leading export product. Only one new whiskey announcement this week. Heaven Hill is releasing a cinnamon-flavored version of its Evan Williams bourbon. Of course, bourbon is not allowed to have flavorings, so this one will carry the label Evan Williams Cinnamon Reserve Honey Liqueur. The Cinnamon Reserve joins the existing Evan Williams Honey Reserve and Cherry Reserve liqueurs in the line. It'll be available throughout the U.S. starting in February. Yale University is offering a class that makes me wish, one, that I'd studied architecture, and two, that I was smart enough to get into Yale. The Louisville Courier-Journal reports a Yale architecture professor is bringing her advanced design class to town on a field trip. They'll be studying the Whiskey Row buildings downtown and visit several distilleries in the area, along with the Vendome Steelworks and the Brown-Forman Cooperage. Their project is to design a contemporary urban distillery. My kind of field trip. And that's the news.
The news is brought to you by Glenmorangie. Visit us on the web at glenmorangie.com or download our iPad app at the iTunes App Store. Glenmorangie, unnecessarily well made.
Let's check the comments of the week now, brought to you this time around by Highland Park. First off, an update from last week. You may recall that while I made it to Victoria in time for last weekend's Victoria Whiskey Festival, my suitcase did not. It spent several days in baggage limbo somewhere on the West Coast. This past Wednesday morning, I got the call I had just about given up on ever receiving. My bag had been found and sent back to Philadelphia, and they just wanted to confirm when someone would be at home for the delivery. Now, I doubt she'll ever hear this, but I want to publicly thank Jen Sweeney of U.S. Airways. She's a gate agent in Seattle, and when I checked in Monday morning for my flight home and she heard that I'd lost my bag, she immediately started trying to find it and worked with 3 different airlines in 4 different cities to sort things out. I don't think I'd have gotten that bag back without her going the extra mile. Jen, thank you again if you're listening to this. Of course, my baggage woes and the good news led to more comments on the WhiskeyCast Facebook page. Mike Walsh posted, "Nothing like getting your underwear back." Mike, it wasn't the underwear, it was the 2 bottles of whiskey inside the bag I was worried about. And thanks to Alan Reed for posting a link to a Newsnet Scotland article about a kerfuffle brewing between Edinburgh and London. It seems that UK Foreign Secretary William Hague's nose is a little out of joint over the Scottish National Party's latest call for a vote on independence and threatened to no longer promote Scotch whiskey exports overseas. Well, Scottish First Minister Alex Salmond had a comeback. It seems that whenever Scotland's Trade Development Agency hosts events in the UK's embassies around the world to promote whiskey and other Scottish exports, the Foreign Ministry charges it $3,000 for the privilege. That's about $5,000 US. However, UK trade and investment groups get to hold their events for free. As of now, no response from the Foreign Secretary. Got an email and a photo from Howard this week. He didn't give his last name, but he did have a question. Here's his note. "Mark, loved the show. Very informative. Found this forgotten soldier gathering dust for 15 years in a small shop. Not sure if this is a regular release or something special. Can't find any info on it. Should I keep, drink, or sell? What do you think it's worth? Thanks, Howard." His find was a 21-year-old single-cask distillery bottling of Knockando, distilled back in 1973 and bottled in 1996. Of course, that is just a bit older than 21 years. I'm not sure of the value, but Knockandos of that era probably are pretty hard to find these days. Personally, I'd hang on to it for a special occasion and then share it with some like-minded friends. If you have questions or suggestions, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is comments@whiskeycast.com, and the comments of the week are brought to you this time around by Highland Park.
Hello, this is Jerry Tosh of Highland Park, the makers of the best spirit in the world. If you'd like to go onto the WhiskeyCast website and click on the banner, then it'll take you to the inner circle and sign up, and we'll send you as much information about Highland Park as you'd ever need to know.
WhiskeyCast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. In 1886, William Grant set out to fulfill a lifelong ambition, to make the best dram in the valley. Today, a rarity in Scotland, Glenfiddich still remains independently owned by the 5th generation of the same pioneering family. This unique legacy of skill, passion and pride forges a long-term commitment to creating truly great single malt without compromise. Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To learn more about our award-winning range and join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases and preferred events, visit glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
Time now for the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. Whiskey Life Belgium is this coming weekend in Spa, along with the Bourbon Spirit School on Saturday the 4th at the Brandy Library in New York City. The Newcastle Whiskey Festival is February 11th in Newcastle, England, along with the Woodford Reserve Valentine's Day dinner at the distillery in Versailles, Kentucky, and the second Saturday single malt tasting at the Miner's Delight Inn in Atlantic City, Wyoming. By the way, I met Bob and Barbara Townsend of the Miner's Delight in Victoria last weekend. Great folks, and I'm hoping to make it out west for one of those second Saturday tastings later on this year. Richard Patterson will lead a Dalmore tasting at Nichols & Perks in Stourbridge, England on February 21st. Julio's Liquors in Westboro, Massachusetts will hold its annual Whiskey A Go-Go Festival the weekend of February 24th through the 26th, and Whiskey Live Seoul is on the 26th as well. Finally, the Universal Whiskey Experience will be in Las Vegas March 2nd and 3rd. The discount code UWECT1 will save you $100 on admission. Those are just some of the events coming up over the next few weeks. You'll find a full calendar at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig. Take a virtual distillery tour at laphroaig.com, and while you're there, become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Islay.
WhiskeyCast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Tim Brennan, retired engineering supervisor, Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey.
I've worked with Irish distillers for 40 years. I was born in Middleton and went to school in Middleton and then joined a company in 1971. Traditions in the old distillery were if you were involved in a very dirty job, you then got a half glass of Redbreast. There were the perks in the old distillery. We had one guy there who was particularly fond of his glass of Redbreast. And in order to go to the manager of the warehouse, he would get a really dirty bag of dust and he'd shake it over himself so that he looked so dirty. And he would head off over to the manager and say, "Mr. Daly, here I am. I've had a terrible dirty job for the morning. Look at the cut of me. Any chance of getting a half one?" And he'd duly get his half one, come back, change his clothes, and he was fine again.
Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know Redbreast.
Time now for a Whiskey Cast in depth and more coverage from last weekend's Victoria Whiskey Festival in British Columbia. By the way, watch for a special Whiskey Cast HD episode from Victoria coming later this week. That's in addition to the episode of WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings we recorded live at the festival. WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings is sponsored by Kilhoman, and since Anthony Wills of Kilhoman was on hand, I asked him to tell us what's going on this winter at the distillery. He gave our audience the first word about Kilhoman's next new release.
Well, we're releasing our first entry-level malt before we've done seasonal releases up until now, and now we've decided that we've got a bit of age on our single malt now. We're now 6 years old, our oldest single malt, and we're now going to do an entry-level malt which is going to be available throughout this year called Machia Bay, which will go forward in future years, but each year and over the next few years we'll add a little bit older stock to the blend and to the vatting, and that will be our sort of standard single malt going forward, and so it gives a bit of continuity.
Tell us about it. What's it going to taste like? And explain the name.
Machia Bay is the bay very close to the distillery. We're right out on the west coast of Islay, and it's the bay literally about half a mile from the distillery. And it is the most beautiful beach on Islay. It's visited by all the locals, so it must be pretty good. And a lot of visitors from all over the world come to it.
And when will this be available?
It is being bottled when I get back. We're doing the vatting when I get back, and it'll be available and released in the middle of February.
As soon as I'm able to get a sample of it, I'll have the tasting notes for you here on WhiskeyCast. In the meantime, here's one of the reasons why the Victoria Festival is so special. I caught up with Michael Urquhart of Gordon & MacPhail, and while we started off talking about the new whiskies he's planning to release in 2012, just wait until you hear about his masterclass that afternoon in Victoria.
There's going to be one or two things that'll come out. Obviously, I can't tell you yet because then everyone will know and there's no surprise, but there's going to be some exciting stuff. One that I can tell you about is the second release of Glenlivet Generation 70-year-old. We released 100 bottles back in March last year at Edinburgh Castle and 175 20CLs. There'll be a further release in the latter part of 2012 of about another 100 bottles, because they sold really, really quickly and very well. It just shows that there is a worldwide demand for these whiskies, and it's just such an exquisite whisky. Light, vibrant, youthful. All I can say is I hope I'm as light and as fruitful and elegant when I'm 70 years old as that whisky is.
During your masterclass here in Victoria, you actually poured some of that as a surprise at the end, right?
Yeah, I didn't want to go and tell them what it was, because there's that expectation to come through. And I was keen to get people to start thinking about the whiskey. So thinking about what kind of cask it's been in, the kind of taste, aromas, what style comes from different distilleries. And Glenlivet's got a kind of real kind of characteristic of oranges. That's one of its signatures. And that was picked up quite quickly by one or two. But when you said to them, how old do you think it is? It ranged from 15, 21, 25, maybe 30, one or two people thought. When I did this in Toronto early in the year, they got up to 40. So to say it was a 70-year-old, their jaws just dropped to the ground.
The price for that masterclass? Just $28. Meanwhile, Ashok Chuckallingham of Amrut was pouring the new Porta Nova in his master class and at Friday night's special Amrut tasting.
Porta Nova is a little town in the state of Tamil Nadu in India, which was under the Portuguese rule from 14th to 16th century. Since we were working on port pipes, we wanted to create a brand name kind of where you have a linkage between India and Portugal. So that was absolutely a fantastic name that we came up with. It's not only the name, the whiskey as well. As you probably know, it's a Cask Innovation Award with Malt Maniacs and a very high score with Jim Murray again with 93 points. It's an awesome whiskey at Cask Strength.
Where will it be available and when?
It is going to be available in Canada in 2 weeks' time, mainly in Alberta and then in British Columbia as well. In Europe, it's sold out. In the United States, it's sold out. And a little batch is going to Taiwan. We just basically produce a very small quantity. When you do an experimentation, you can't afford to go for a very mass volume. So we just tried with 3 port pipes. It worked out extremely well. We'll be producing more.
When will you have more out?
Maybe by end of this year or early next year.
What's the next one you're coming out with?
We are working on a couple of very, very interesting projects. Fingers crossed at the moment because it's maturing at the moment. Can't tell you more than that at the moment, but it's going to be really exciting next year.
What can you tell me about it?
I can't tell you much more than that.
But when he can, I'll have the details for you here on WhiskeyCast. In the meantime, Andrew Symington of Edradour Distillery and Signatory made a rare trip over to North America for the weekend in Victoria. It'll be a big year for Scotland's smallest distillery.
Oh, we've done quite a lot of extensive renovations at the distillery, enhancements and things. The last couple of years, you know, we've built new cask storage warehouses, a new corporate hospitality suite. We've enhanced, refurbished our malt barn. We've opened up the old kiln. It's an interactive kind of thing. You can see the inside workings of the kiln itself, and the old malting floor and things.
But it still remains the smallest distillery in Scotland, right?
As far as we know, we still have the smallest legal size stills, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How is business going for you guys with Edradour? And then we'll talk about Signatory in a second.
Edradour's doing really well indeed. We're just coming up to our first 10 years. It'll be 10 years in July this year. So some of the products that we laid down back in 2002, 2003 are coming to market now. A lot of the wine, the fully wine-matured casks. We have the Sauternes matured here, the Chardonnay matured here. They were very well received today at the masterclass. So,
what's new coming out in 2012, or especially if you're celebrating your anniversary?
Yeah, we'll do a special anniversary bottling, and we'll have a few more wine matured casks coming. We've got Gaia Barolo, Sassicaia, Amadira fully matured.
And how are things going on the Signatory side?
Signatory's doing really well as well. Yeah, we've got... We've increased our stock of casks to about 10,000 now, so we're laying down quite a lot of stuff, quite a lot of closed distilleries, so they'll still be around in 5, 6, 7 years' time.
What new releases will we see in the coming months from Signatory?
We've just introduced quite a substantial new range of cask strengths and unchill filtereds, Imperial, Glenkeith, Capodoro, to name a few.
I'll have more details on those whiskies as they're available. Since my last visit to Victoria a year ago, British Columbia's largest distillery has gone into production. Shelter Point is located about 3 hours north of Victoria and has been selling whiskies sourced from other distillers for about a year now. But Patrick Evans has been working for several years to get his own whiskies into casks.
We've been running since June. As any new distillery, you have hiccups with your breaking equipment, adjusting things. Things are well up and running. We have 250 casks in inventory and growing.
So you're 8 months in, and basically another 2.5 years, you'll actually have some whiskey ready to sell, right?
That's right. Yep. It's hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait.
But you have an advantage that most micro distillers don't, and that you've got Mike Nicholson working with you.
We're blessed by having Mike here. He's been a huge part of it, huge, massive part of it, of the distillery. Yeah.
So how's the spirit taste?
Fruity, very nice. Surprisingly nice. We're all pleased with how it's turning out.
Was it what you expected it would be?
I didn't know what to expect. I mean, first distillery in Western Canada, not too what to expect. We're different location, our stills, our water, our air, our location. I'm very happy so far.
I have a sample of Shelter Point's new make. It's very fruity with a touch of licorice as well. It'll be interesting to see how it ages. Now, 2 years ago, we met Peter Hunt of Victoria Spirits. His micro-distillery is just north of the city, and at the time, he'd just started laying down his Craig Derrick spirit, named after the Craig Derrick Castle in Victoria. Peter wasn't on hand for last year's festival, but I was able last weekend to get an update on his progress over the last couple of years.
When we first started distilling, we actually just started distilling the whiskey about 3 years ago. And because we just have a little tiny 200-liter still, we started making it, was going into new American oak quarter casks. And then we decided that about a year ago, we decided to pull it out of the quarter casks and blend it with some new make and then put it into used bourbon barrel. And so that's what we're pouring here today. There are portions of the spirit that are over 3 years old, would technically be whiskey, but because we've decided to blend it with some new make, it's still the Craig Derrick spirit. But it's coming along nicely, we think.
How close are you to being able to bring it to market as whiskey?
It'll be 2.5 years before legally we can call it whiskey. And when we do, we're probably going to release small amounts of it through our tasting room. Whether or not it actually makes it onto any store shelves is yet to be seen.
But in the meantime, your Victoria Gin is still doing very well.
Yeah, absolutely. Victoria Gin is certainly our main product. We actually do an aged version of that, our Oak and Gin, a hemp vodka, and some bitters as well. We've got an orange bitters and a couple other bitters that are going to be released in the next couple months. So,
a hemp vodka?
A little bit of BC terroir, you know?
I had not heard of a hemp vodka before, but that's an interesting one. How does it taste?
It's really tasty, actually. We use hemp seed, which has lots of nice oils in it. A lot of those come through in the distillation, giving it kind of almost a buttery, silky texture and almost a hazelnut flavor a little bit. So it's nice.
Next year's Victoria Whiskey Festival is tentatively set for January 18th through the 20th. Tickets are expected to go on sale the first Saturday in November, and if you're even thinking about trying to go, make sure you bookmark the Victoria Whiskey Festival website and check for updates later this year, because tickets sell out within hours after they go on sale. Time now for the What I'm Tasting This Week department, brought to you this time around by our friends at the Glenrothes. Several months ago, I tasted a Tullibardine Banyuls cask finished single malt. I was not impressed. But I had the chance to taste a Tullibardine Premier Grand Cru Classe Bordeaux cask finish in Victoria, with much better results. It's bottled at 46% ABV. The nose is clean and light, with notes of red grapes, dried fruits, raisins, and a hint of orange peel. The taste is chewy and thick, with a pepperiness that builds up over a minute or two, with raisin and plum notes underneath that carry into the finish as the pepperiness fades. It's a nice complex whiskey, and I'm scoring the Tullibardine Premier Grand Cru Classe finish a 91. We heard from Edward Dower's Andrew Symington a few minutes ago, and he brought his latest Balakin peated single malt to Victoria. Balakin number 6 is bottled at 46% ABV and comes from bourbon casks. The nose is a complex mix of peat and campfire smoke, with cocoa and caramel notes underneath. The taste is thick and rich, with pepper and peat notes that build and peak differently for a very complex taste, with hints of vanilla and caramel underneath. The finish reminds me of a smoky barbecue sauce, long and tangy. I'm scoring the Edward Dower Balakin number 6 a 93. We don't see many official distillery bottlings of Glen Elgin, but I had the chance to try a 12-year-old release. It's bottled at 43% ABV. The nose has a good balance of toasted oak, honey, and caramel notes. The taste is creamy, with a good allspice note that builds up slowly, with touches of honey and oak underneath. And that allspice note lingers through the finish while the honey and oak fade away. It's well-balanced and complex. I'm scoring the Glen Elgin 12-year-old an 89. The What I'm Tasting This Week department is brought to you by the Glenrothes, where maturity matters, not age. You'll find all of my tasting notes in the WhiskeyCast smartphone apps for Android and Apple platforms. The Apple edition is also brought to you by the Glenrothes. My notes are also available at the WhiskeyCast website, along with links to our Facebook page and my Twitter feed, the calendar of events, the photo gallery, and a complete archive of past episodes. The address is whiskeycast.com. And my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com.
Whiskeycast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Whiskeycast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases, and preferred events, visit glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
Whiskeycast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2012, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.